Hello, and welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Keshet Starr, and today we're going to be learning Tehillim Perek Samech Hei, Chapter 65. This perek focuses on praising Hashem, with David extolling Hashem's kindness in maintaining the wonders of nature and connecting with the beings that he creates. In Pasuk Bet, verse 2, David says, Lecha dumiyah tehillah, or silence is praise to you. Rashi explains that this is because as human beings, we can never fully praise Hashem, so silence can actually count as praise. Rabbeinu Bachya expands on this idea, noting that there are three different kinds of praise. First, you have excessive praise, then adequate praise, and then inadequate praise. The first one, excessive praise, can almost be demeaning. Like if you've ever gotten a compliment that is so over the top, you're perhaps more embarrassed than touched. Adequate praise for Hashem really isn't possible. We can't fully comprehend him as human beings, so how can we fully praise him? Therefore, even inadequate praise, like silence, can actually be the ultimate praise for Hashem, because in our limited human comprehension, that may be the best way for us to actually connect to Hashem and to his impact in the world. Later on in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, David says, Ashrei tivchar v'tikarev yishken chatzrecha. Ashrei, and I'll go into what that word means in a moment, Ashrei is the person that you choose and draw near to dwell in your courts. Ashrei is sometimes translated as praiseworthy, but also as happy, from the root word osher, which means happiness. Since happiness is one of our most sought after emotions or mental states in life, its mention here is worth a closer look. Webster's dictionary defines happiness as, quote, a state of well-being and contentment, and alternately a pleasurable or satisfying experience. And yet, we know as human beings that following God and living a life close to Hashem does not always lead to a state of well-being or to pleasure on a day-to-day basis. So what does happiness actually mean in the context of this pasuk? While we may think of happiness as a sort of giddy, zippity-doo-dah kind of mentality, Rabbeinu Bachya interestingly defines a happy person as one who is measured and thoughtful in his or her interactions and behaviors. One thing this pasuk reminds us of is that true spiritual happiness is much deeper than pleasure or even contentment. Rather, it is a state of living in tune with our core values and with awareness and connection to God's goodness. As the parak continues, David describes God's magnificence in relation to nature. Mechin harim b'kocho, David notes, ne'ezar b'gvura, Hashem sets the mountains with his strength, who is girded in might. Rashi expands on this concept, noting that not only does God make the mountains sprout with his strength, he also prepares food through them and prepares rain. Hashem not only creates objects in nature, he facilitates the extraordinary and mysterious natural cycles that allow the earth to replenish itself and to sustain our needs. The parak continues in Pasuk Chet, noting that Hashem stills the raging seas and the raging waves, and later on in Pasuk Yud, that you, Hashem, remember the earth and water it. Like many poets and songwriters from ancient times up until today, David draws upon the power and the majesty of nature to remind us of the extraordinary powers and creativity of Hashem. However, even more so, David's words remind us that the rhythms of the natural world are not simply random occurrences that we should ignore or take for granted, but rather tiny miracles that not only enhance the beauty and the physical splendor of our world, but also allow us to live and thrive and function in the universe. I remember as a child learning about the cycle of precipitation, about the way that the clouds create rain and then release the rain, and the soil soaks that rain back up, and how that cycle keeps going and going and allows the earth to maintain its most necessary resources. And while at the time I was in public school and did not learn that concept in the lens of spirituality and of a connection with Hashem, when we study the natural wonders and really the inner workings of even the most seemingly simple natural systems, we can see God's involvement in the world and God's creativity and wisdom in creating a world that is so thoughtful and so intricately designed. But while all of this is very interesting, what do these seemingly disparate micro themes have to do with one another? After all, praising Hashem, experiencing happiness, appreciating nature, all beautiful ideas, but they all seem like fairly different objectives to be tied together in one psalm. However, if we look under the surface, we can actually see some connecting threads among these various topics. First of all, if we want to be able to praise Hashem, however imperfectly, as we discussed, we have to be aware of Hashem. We have to be conscious of his workings in the world and his impact on our daily lives and the rhythms that allow us to sustain ourselves in the world. Nature presents a powerful way to do this, because while nature is a very easy thing to take for granted, it can also provide unique opportunities for us to get a glimpse of the complexity and the genius behind God's creation of the world. Whether it's seeing a magnificent sunset, or walking along the beach, or gaining a new awareness as to how anything from insects to trees to water to rain operate, nature gives us a window in appreciating the greatness of God, which allows us to accomplish that tehillah, that praise that we are looking for. And finally, to tie in the happiness piece, as we discussed, the sort of happiness we're referencing in Tehillim, in Psalms, is not a baseline, eating a delicious snack kind of happiness, but it's something deeper than that. And when we cultivate an awareness of God's love for us and God's kindness in building and creating and sustaining the world, when we're awake to God's involvement in even the smallest details of our lives, that allows us to live with deep happiness, to appreciate what goes on around us as opposed to taking it for granted, and to live a life that is really deeply connected to God and to spiritual things. And that is where ultimate happiness comes from. So to live with an awareness that even though life is difficult and life is complicated, we are constantly being sustained by God's love, that allows us to both connect to God, to praise him, to appreciate the world around us, and to live with true joy. Thank you for learning with us, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.